Hello, Marianne. This is Michael Criswell. Sister, I've just come off of the prayer trail and checked my email looking for a specific email from somebody else, and I saw your email. And sister, I cannot do phone calls. I don't do phone calls anymore because there's thousands of people, but I can at least let you know a few things. That I have heard your message so many times that your mind would literally be so perplexed if you could see a wall of all the emails that I've received from women just like you over the years. Thousands and thousands of them. And because my story, the prominent part of my story is the divorce, I get contacted by so many people regarding marriage and divorce issues. And sister, I can tell you that it's so easy for me to answer this message because I've heard it so many times. And yet that doesn't make it any easier for you to actually live out or walk out. And I realize that. And so it's become very difficult for me to keep this personal over the years with people when I hear the same story over and over and over. Sister, I will put it to you absolutely point blank simple, and I would encourage you to go listen to more of my messages about divorce, remarriage, God's view on divorce, all of this stuff. And I include scriptures, and I reason it all out through the scriptures, and I point to the fruit of this teaching in my own life and in the lives of other people so that you can take confidence that this is not some deception of Satan or that I'm being led astray, but that the fruit of my life would show forth and the fruit of other people's testimonies would show forth that this really is the heart of Father. It is not the Father's heart that you would stay yoked to a child of the devil to the point of your spiritual death. But God does allow us all to be in some type of bondage and to experience some type of spiritual death in order that he can be seen to be Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. These are the words of Jesus Christ to Mary and Martha when Lazarus has died. And the Bible says that God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. And the whole story of the Bible is about God redeeming and buying back men and women in bondage, either to the Pharaoh for no apparent reason of their own, or to their sins over and over again, their rebellion against God, or to their foolish and unwise decisions, they end up in bondage. And here we have all of this happening as a result of the fall. We all are broken. We all are bent away from God. We are all filled with foolishness, and we're all captive to our own human natures, our own human understanding, our fleshly desires, our fleshly needs. And this means trouble. We're going to constantly get in trouble. We bear the fruit of our rebellion. So we end up getting in relationships like this, and it wreaks havoc. And sometimes a person comes to a point of crisis where they recognize this is resulting in my death. Spiritually, I'm dying here. This is not the life and joy of a Christian. This is not Romans 5:17. I'm not reigning over this death and reigning in this life through Christ and his righteousness. No, I'm being tied to the back of a hearse and dragged down a gravel road, and there's not much of my flesh left back on me. That's how you can know you're yoked to a child of the devil. If you just simply look at what the Bible says about this and you forget you even contacted me, and you just go to the scriptures and you know the scriptures well enough to know, what does the Bible say about your husband? The Bible says your husband is a child of the devil. Period, end of story. It doesn't matter his argument. It doesn't matter your pastor's argument. It doesn't matter your own fleshly arguments. It doesn't even matter my arguments. The Bible says he is a child of the devil. 1 John 3:6 through 10. It is case closed. John 8:31 through 36, case closed. I mean, it is absolutely crystal clear in scripture. John 8:44, you are the children of the devil. You think and call God your dad, but you are the children of your father, the devil. And how do we know? because you do what your father wants you to do. He's a liar. He's a sinner. He's been sinning and lying from the beginning, and you do that, and that makes you his offspring. 1 John 3:6 through 10, it's absolutely clear. The Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved, says, this is how we can know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. He doesn't say the people that are almost right with God, just not quite right with God yet. This is how we can know the difference between a backslidden Christian and a non-backslidden Christian. This is how we can know the difference between somebody who's just not got discernment, somebody who's not yet mature. Nope. He puts them in two categories. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And if more people would believe that teaching, I would get so many less emails. If more people were taught that in Scripture, a tree is recognized by its fruit. If more people would say, look at Jesus, the loving one, and he says to these men, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything that is good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things up out of the good stored in him. The evil man, child of the devil, brings evil up out of the evil stored in him. If people could just understand that God really is that black and white, that Jesus Christ really is that black and white, that his word really is that black and white. And when Jesus says through the apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what is light have in common with dark, Christ have in common with Belial, right? Why do we not believe those things? And then we don't believe them. And then we get ourselves in a real mess. We begin to experience all the consequences of darkness in our life, the consequences of spiritual death. It doesn't look like Jesus is in the building, nor has he ever been in our building. We don't have any of the fullness of life. We don't have the joy, the peace, the rest, the contentment, the rivers of living water. We don't have the freedom from sin. We don't have the peace that surpasses all understanding, all things that Jesus promised. And we wonder why. It's because you cannot be yoked to darkness and have the light of life. Jesus said in John chapter 8, 8 through 10, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when you don't have the light of life, it knows you're walking in darkness. And in this instance, you've yoked yourself to darkness. I'm just telling you the plain, simple truth, sister, and I can't sugarcoat it any better than I'm trying to right now, because it's truth, and truth is hard, and this is a large pill or a big shot. And if you'll take this, it'll help you get better. But if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to have to email some other minister that you've watched a YouTube video on a couple of years from now, if you're not already completely spiritually dead by then. You need to get out of this marriage. You know, Jesus, I can just give you so much. You need to go read the document that I wrote, God Hates Divorce, But he hates some marriages even more. You need to go read that and see what the rest of God's message is on divorce, not just the completely heretical, out of balance, God hates divorce message that has been completely twisted, completely taken out of context, completely taken out of balance to the point of it's turned into a bondage for people. And we're made to feel so guilty if we're married to a child of devil that marriage is the savior. And God forbid we should actually flee the unregenerate, disobedient, godless, wicked person I'm married to and have life in Christ. No, God values the institution of marriage more than he does my damned soul. God's willing to put Jesus on the cross to save people, but he's not willing to kill a marriage. No way. He'll never do that. In spite of the fact, if you read the rest of the Bible, you start getting around Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18, reading the book of Nehemiah, reading Ezra chapter 10, you discover God says, if the wife of your youth, the one you delight in, if she causes you to fall away through other gods, let your hand be the first in killing her. The same God who hates divorce. The same God who hates divorce. And by the way, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, his covenant's not the same, so we don't go kill our spouse, but God still feels the same way. He still feels the same way about sin. He just doesn't deal with it the same way. We're in a new covenant, but he still hates sin. He still hates anybody that's going to keep you from him and anybody that's going to turn your heart away to another god. And if your heart is turned to money, if your heart is turned to him, if your heart is turned to a counterfeit Christianity, you've been turned to another god. If your husband has had a hand in that, he wants to pull you away from it. He hates it. And he hates your husband for doing that. In Ezra chapter 10, the God who hates divorce, where it's mentioned one time in one sentence because the people were divorcing their wives for burning their toast, for horrible reasons, doing treachery to their wife. That's not what you're doing by wanting to leave your husband. You're not trying to do harm to him. You're not trying to go be some harlot and run and go have sex with a bunch of men or go find some rich sugar daddy to take care of you. And if you are, shame on you. You're trying to find Christ. You're trying to find life. You're trying to find peace. 1 Corinthians 7 says God's called us to live in peace. If the unbelieving spouse, which is what your spouse is, Titus 1:16, there are those who claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. Did you know that Paul says, if they're not willing to live with you, you can divorce them. The command is do not divorce them if. That's a condition for not divorcing them. The condition for not divorcing the unbelieving spouse, the wicked spouse that you're not living in peace with, God's called you to live in peace, but you don't have it. Why? You're yoked to a child of the devil. If they're willing to live with you, what is willingness? To do marijuana? To make fun of you? To abuse you? To kick you down? To treat you like a fool? To treat you worse than he treats an animal? Is that what God calls willingness to live with you? No. This is what legalism has done. These blind idiots that have taught this God hates divorce message, drilled it into the ground farther than it was ever meant to be. It's meant to be, listen, you fool, don't divorce your wife for another younger, prettier, to devote yourself to your lusts, to have your way. Don't intentionally harm your wife like this. Love her. You made a commitment to her, stay to her. It's not the provision. The same is not to be said of the woman or a man who's in a situation like you're in. God is not some evil God that he wants you to stay in this death. But think about how your mind can only hear, God hates divorce, God hates divorce, God hates divorce. You've been indoctrinated. It's like you're in a cult. It's like we're all in a cult. Jim Jones is the man. Jim Jones is the man. David Koresh is the man. David Koresh is the man. And anybody that says anything different, you're so afraid to stand up against the cult leader. And that's what this devilish, horrible, heretical God hates divorce message has done. Yes, God hates divorce. He hates it. If I were to leave my wife and go satisfy my lust elsewhere or leave my wife for any unknown stupid reasons like these Jews were doing, a certain number of the Jews were leaving their wives for any and every reason. That's what the scripture says. You divorced your wife for any and every reason. Even Jesus Christ mentions this. Is it right for us to leave our wives for any reason? The reason why they asked that is because that was the belief and the doctrine and the teaching at the time. And Jesus says, no, it's not right for you to leave your wife for any reason other than marital unfaithfulness. You make a commitment. Now listen, let me tell you something. How foolish that we would think that's the only type of marital unfaithfulness. Now, it is generally known to be the main marital unfaithfulness, but we cannot think that God, in that statement, is X-ing out all the other ways that people are unfaithful in far more difficult ways. You know, you can live in a marriage without having sex. Does that mean that that person could never be unfaithful to you because they have some physical condition or you have some physical condition that means they can't ever have sex? So let's say the man is impotent and he can never have sex. Does that mean that God can look at that man and go, aha, he can never be unfaithful to his spouse? No, he can lust in his mind. No, he can cheat on you in all kinds of ways. He can do damage to the marital finances. He can do damage to your heart, damage to your soul, damage to your emotions. He can be unfaithful to you in all kinds of ways that are godless and wicked. Sister, you need to go. I could go on and on and on about this. I've made this message thousands of times to thousands of people, and I try to never quit. But I tell you, it is very difficult when you hear this message so many times. The scriptures are clear. You need to leave your husband. You have permission to get out of the death. The fruit of your heart shows you that what I'm saying is right. You will end up like one of these women that I've heard from that ends up spiritually dead. And you've gone back three times. And I have to say, sister, at this point, it's looking an awful lot like a dog who returns to its vomit. I don't say that to shame you. I don't even know you. Right? So you shouldn't take this personal. You've presented me a set of circumstances and a testimony, but I don't know you. So don't take it personal. You're not any different to me than a Cindy or a Martha. I don't know you. I care about you as a Christian. I'm believing for you in faith that you'll hear this, that you'll understand it, that you'll take action, and that you are a beloved of God, but you'll never, ever see a different result staying with a child of the devil. The child of the devil is not going to change. You have to. The situation isn't going to change. You must change it. Use divorce. Listen, divorce your husband. Tell him you're leaving. Trust God. Get away from him. Now watch this. What a blessing it would be. Don't expect this to happen in these days we're living in. We're in the terrible days. The world is falling apart. So don't expect this, but if it is God's will, blessed are you in the Lord. Supposing this man finally takes you seriously, which I doubt he will because you said you've married him 3 times, and you come back only after you've seen fruit in keeping with repentance, and it wouldn't be the same words or the same fruit you've seen before and apparently went back. It would have to be something miraculous. But listen, I find it interesting. Jesus says, okay, I'm going to cut this tree down. It is not bearing fruit. Cut this tree down. It's not bearing fruit. And the man says, no, Lord, let me dig around it and fertilize it. He says, I've come 3 years now and this tree is not bearing fruit. 3 years, 3 times, it's complete. You have done the right thing. You've gone back to this guy 3 times. You've suffered enough. You've shown, you've done. Would it not be said of you in the court of heaven? You did everything you could to try to keep this marriage together and reconcile. Could anybody ever point to you and say, ah, you gave up. You just gave into your lust. You were just looking for an easy way out. Could anybody in their right mind ever say that about you, sister? No. Could God accuse you of that? No. No God I know could ever accuse you of done that. If you've married this guy 3 times, that's unheard of. God is not going to condemn you for finally getting yourself and your heart right with God. And I tell you the truth, God is willing. You should listen to the message. Why God allows so many marriages to fail. It's because he cares more about you and the condition of your soul than he does the institution of marriage. Literally the best thing I can do for you, I've already prayed that God would give me some words to speak to you beforehand. The best thing I can do for you is to encourage you to go listen to the rest of what I've said on this subject of divorce and remarriage, and to go read that. It's got the word of God in it. Go read on my website or listen to it. The message called God Hates Divorce, But He Hates Some Marriages Even More. And allow the word and spirit of God to minister truth and courage to your heart so that you'll have the courage to do it. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage to walk out of this. There might be financial issues. You're going to have to trust God for that. There might be reputation issues, church issues, family issues, whatever. You're going to have to trust God. You may have to suffer for it. But in the end, it all will go well with you, and you will see the hand of God. You will see the peace of God. You will see the rest of God. You will see the blessing of God. And once you step out, you will see the floodwaters back up at the Jordan, and you will see that you'll cross over on dry land, and God will show you that he was in this. Now, I tell you the truth, I've received a lot of these testimonies, sister. A lot of women who took the courage after they heard the message of God and my messages, they left, and I can tell you they have peace. And they're so thankful. Their only regrets is they didn't do it sooner. And God blesses them and he shows them, I was in this. I was with you. I will be with you. I am with you. You did the right thing and now you will have life. May God bless you in Jesus' name.